the former president Donald Trump has found himself back in the news in a big way recently. Over the past week, we've learned that Trump considered seizing voting machines after the 2020 election as part of his effort to stay in the White House. Trump also dangled the idea of pardons for January 6th rioters if he were to be reelected. ABC News political director Rick Klein is here to help us work through some of this news. Rick, welcome.
Hey, Peter. Good to be with you.
Good to have you. And those were really just a few of the recent Trump headlines. We also saw polls showing that the president's grip on his party is slipping just a bit. What are you seeing?
There's no question that there's some shifts, maybe just subtle shifts, in the number of Republicans who consider themselves Trump Republicans first and foremost. There's also no question that he is the dominant figure in the Republican Party and would be a front runner if he chooses to run again in 2024. And I think through the revelations from the January 6th committee, through some new reporting that we've seen, and even through the president's own comments, it's all underscored the urgency of the moment vis-a-vis election reform. It's galvanized some of the efforts to rewrite some of the laws governing how electoral votes are counted. And President Trump, I think, is keeping the issue live and front and center just by his very actions and by the new information that's come out.
One of those actions, notably the rally last weekend in Texas, he dangled these pardons for the January 6th rioters facing criminal charges. Let's listen.
If I run and if I win, we will treat those people from January 6th fairly. We will treat them fairly. And if it requires pardons, we will give them pardons.
So big crowds, big cheers. But a lot of elected Republicans, when they were asked about this, they didn't really want to touch it. How has this rally gone over the last couple of days inside the party?
I think what it did is it exploded the notion that you can separate out what happened on January 6th from President Trump and his culpability and the fact that he's continuing to lie about the last election and to deny that he had any responsibility for the fact that people acted on those lies last January 6th. And it's been a year's worth of rewriting of the history. And I think for many Republicans in elected office, the passage of time has allowed them to separate the issues out. But part of that narrative has been, yes, the people that acted badly on January 6th, they should be fully punished. And I think for President Trump to come out and say, if I'm elected again, I might pardon those people, and that makes that an untenable position. And I think that's an awkward question for any Republican running for office that says that he or she supports former President Trump, might support him again, to try to answer for why such a pardon would be even remotely justified.
And we're still getting new information from that time. There's reporting from the New York Times that Trump considered a plan that would have the Pentagon seize state voting machines after the election, and then that he called Rudy Giuliani, his lawyer, to see if the Department of Homeland Security would do it. They, of course, declined. So lots of post-election January 6th reporting this week. What is the most significant of those headlines in your mind?
Well, I think that the lengths to which the former president went, I think we've known in the past, my colleague John Carl wrote it in his book, that President Trump was trying to or being urged to try to get control of those voting machines. But the fact that you're talking about different federal agencies, the Department of Homeland Security, the Department of Defense, the fact that there were executive orders being drafted, we were a lot closer than we knew at the time to that kind of a federal takeover. And who knows what the consequences have been? We've seen these audits in states that haven't turned up any meaningful information about voter fraud, but in the hands of people that were willing to do the bidding of the former president after his loss, who knows what that aftermath could have looked like? It could have severely complicated the efforts to sign and seal the votes in the various states before January 6th. If it could have created the kind of chaotic situation, that's exactly why Trump was urging Pence to throw out the electoral votes. It might have been that Pence would have felt justified given the questions that could have been raised. There are all sorts of manners, and I think we just came a lot closer to that scenario than we recognized at the time.
So briefly, Rick, where does the former president stand today? Is he stronger now politically than he was when he left office last year?
He is stronger than he was in the immediate aftermath of January 6th. I think the question is whether he is stronger than he was at the height of his powers and what it looks like with the passage of time after the midterm elections, after other candidates potentially run, and after more information comes out about January 6th. We know this committee is working on a tight timeline. They recognize they functionally have to finish their work sometime before the midterm elections. So where that leaves Trump, I think, is still an open question, but no question in my mind that he's in a better political position than he was after leaving his office in disgrace.
Rick Klein is political director at ABC News. Rick, it's always great to hear from you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Peter.
And let's pose some of these same questions to a Republican. Strategist Alice Stewart is here. Alice, good to have you back.
Hi, Peter. Great to be with you.
So Rick Klein just said, no question in his mind, he is stronger today than he was when he left office. What do you think? Do you see any meaningful cracks in the former president's support?
As you say, with the passage of time, things have leveled off quite a bit for the former president. He no doubt took a huge hit after January 6th and the riots and protests and insurrection at the Capitol. But over time, people are looking at the better side of the former president. And quite frankly, many do see that he is benefiting from the bad aspects of the Biden administration with regard to the economy and foreign policy and COVID continuing to rise. So he reaps the benefit of some of the poor gains of the current administration. But an important note about that, you know, he has obviously been holding rallies, raising tremendous amounts of money. But while President Trump goes out and has big crowds and big cheers, there is big silence by many Republicans who are concerned about his continuing to focus on January 6th, but also the 2020 election. They're tired of
that. That's my question. Why is the president still doing that? As you say, many Republicans don't want to get dragged down in that anymore. Wouldn't the former president be better off focusing on something else?
Absolutely. And the big problem is that is about him, and that is not about the voters. And the voters want whoever is their leader to focus on their issues and the kitchen table issues that are important to them. And the more he continues to make it about Donald Trump and not about the voters of this country, he will suffer for that. And case in point, we had the governor's race in Virginia. Glenn Youngkin focused on policies. He was positive and was not focused on President Trump. And that is a winning playbook. And any Republican moving forward would do themselves a great service if they focus on the policies and not the personalities,
right,
and keeping it positive, because that certainly was a winning formula for Glenn Youngkin.
That's why I want to ask you about Ron DeSantis. The Florida governor has been at odds with Donald Trump over things like boosters and vaccines. DeSantis is running re-election ads that tell Anthony Fauci to go pound sand. Here he is in a recent speech.
We have seen in many other jurisdictions in this country and in many jurisdictions around the world the creation of Faucian dystopias. Freedoms curtailed, livelihoods destroyed, schools shuttered, crime spiking, and opportunities dashed.
Alice, what do you think of the analysis out there that of all the Republicans, Ron DeSantis is the one who poses the greatest threat to Donald Trump's political future?
Obviously, for years until recently, he was a big supporter of President Trump and supported his policies. And as a conservative in the state of Florida, he has received a lot of national attention. The problem is with the politicization of COVID, this has become a political issue and not a health issue. And I would advise and encourage anyone running for office to take the politics out of this, encourage people to get vaccines, encourage people to get mandates, encourage people to wear masks and socially distance, and not use this as a wedge issue to show contrast and see who's more anti-vax than the other candidate, because it should not be a political issue whatsoever.
Alice, I have less than a minute. What is your sense when you talk to other Republicans? What is the feeling about whether or not they want Donald Trump to go after that nomination?
Peter, you know how this plays out. The base will always be there for Donald Trump. The cake is baked for them. They will not stray. The question is, where is the mushy middle? Where are the independents and the undecideds that were disenchanted with Trump and left and either did not vote or went for Biden? That's the question. And I think the more that we can get people out there focused on policies and what is best for the American people, that's the best for our party and certainly America.
All right. Alice Stewart, a Republican strategist. Thanks as always.
Thanks, Peter.